Been a crazy week for you too. With everything going on, I feel for those who are out of work because of this. I feel for you who are going to feel the ripple effects of other people being out of work. And there's a lot of extra strain on parents who are trying to care for their children as well as work a full-time job. My daughter's still in that camp. And my wife says she's bored even, you know, and you might be bored. We actually had game night the other night. Dan and my wife and I, we played a game, a board game. So those might be the things we're bringing out more of doing things together. There is a concern at the church that we minister to the body, even though we're trying to care for each other's bodies too. We want to try to speak out to the church. I feel for the doctors and nurses for what they're going through in some of these places. They've got to be getting almost burnt out, some of them. I feel for families of loved ones who have loved ones at the hospital that are unable to visit with them. Strange. We're living in a strange day. I'm grateful that we were able to meet together today. I'm not sure what this week will bring. If it allows us to keep on doing it, let's encourage one another. Let's be smart, of course, but let's keep on meeting together. I think I heard a prayer. I mean, you had a prayer time in class this morning, and I think we need to call upon that even more and more, that we might be praying this time. There is a joy to be able to come together and sing and seek the face of God and to worship Him. This week, though, however, should remind all of us that life as we enjoy it can turn upside down very quickly. Some of you have experienced that in other ways throughout your life. Things can turn your life upside down quickly. Sickness, car accident, divorce, death in the family. All those things can just sort of flip your life upside down in a moment. But we have learned, if nothing else this week, maybe you have learned, like I've thought about, that the things we thought would be there were suddenly gone. I don't have a whole lot in a retirement account, but I have less than I did have. There are some who are really depending on that. Our daughter was telling us about one of their coworkers that was just about getting ready to retire and was depending on the things that they had invested, and that was going to be real in jeopardy. We also, our jobs. Dan was worried about his job. He flew out to Minneapolis, I think it was, and they basically says, get on the plane and fly back. And he didn't hear him probably until Thursday or Friday whether he had a job yet. He still has a job, praise the Lord. Other people, I used to always enjoy going to Big Boy and the waitresses there, and I feel for them at the, you know, no tips, things of that nature. I feel for those. Our freedoms. Boy, you used to be able to get together and do anything you want. Now we're limited. Our access to food. Who would have thought going into Walmart that you would see bear shells? I mean, I just didn't picture that myself. And so, once again, this world of ours can get tipped upside down very quickly. we should know what the Scriptures say, that down the road, we believe we haven't got there yet, but down the road in the 70th week of Daniel, as recorded in the book of Revelation, things are going to get very bad. We have war, we have famine, we have pestilence and death. So the Bible says in Matthew 24, then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Okay? I don't think we're there. But what this does with this going on this week, it certainly says, hey, this world, we think it's going to go on and on and on. It gets tipped upside down very quickly. Challenge ourselves, where are we putting our trust? Because I think at times we can put our trust in my bank account. I can put my trust in things are going to be the same as they were last week. This coronavirus could be a spiritual wake-up to us. What am I trusting in? Some of the things that we have tipped upside down may have been the idol in our lives, and we never realized it as an idol. There is a relationship with God that God wants His children to have. The one that can bring comfort to us even in life's difficult times. In John chapter 15, you don't need to turn there. In John chapter 15, he uses the words, if you remain in me or if you abide in me. In our chapter this morning, Psalms 91, one that a lot of people are turning to at this time, we're going through this. Psalms 91 is a wonderful chapter. It says this, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's. He will cover you with His feathers. And under His wings you'll find refuge. All you farmers with chickens know what He's talking about there. Okay? His faithfulness will be your shield and your fortification. You will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness or the plague that destroys at midday. 8,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is your refuge. Then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wonderful Psalm, Psalms 91. Now with that in mind, let's remind ourselves of one truth here. We should always remember what's that Psalm really telling us. There's a couple things I always want to challenge you with. There is a conditional phrase in that Psalm. If you dwell in my dwelling place. If you do. Because He loves me is another one. And there is that relationship. But as I look at this psalm, there's also something that we always need to remember. Many times as you read the Bible says, it will not come near you. Don't fear. Now let me ask you, does that mean that a believing doctor should just rip off his mask and his gown and just take a good Cough on me all you want. That's not what that passage means, by the way. That passage really has the idea of realizing that one day God is going to judge. God is an almighty God. And when it comes to the day of judgment, guess where the believer is going to be? The believer is going to be in the pavilion. He's going to be in the shelter. And he will not have to worry about the judgment of God upon mankind because he is safe within the shelter, within the relationship with God. So it's not really, it's not saying that no bad things can never come your way. There's been a lot of people who have read that psalm and things have happened in their lives. Things have happened in your life. It says, I don't have to fear about the arrow or the plague or this, but I'm sick. Remember, so that psalm talks about the time when God is going to deal with mankind in the end. And there's a place for all to be safe if they make the Most High their dwelling. Because He loves me. There's the rescue. There's the rescue. There's the rescue. Well, He knows when we get worried or become anxious. He knows that we are human. I love, there are times, once again, there are many verses in the Bible that says, do not be afraid. I don't always get A's on that one. There's times where I do get anxious. But I do need to be able to back up a little bit and say, hey, you are the God who knows Brian Cuddy. You know my life. I have embraced you, Lord, as my Savior and my God. I desire to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And because of that, there is to be an overwhelming peace that can come to your soul regardless of what happens to your life. Trusting in God in the midst of trials does not mean everything will work out. It means that by trusting, we have peace, even in the worst case scenario. Trust in the midst of trial is the result of a spirit-filled life. Lord, I'm yours. You probably wrestle with the Apostle Paul like I do. He says, I've learned what it means to be in need. I've learned to be content in any and every situation. And at times I just shake my head when I hear that. But then at the end of that verse it says what? I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yeah. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in plenty or in need. I can do everything who gives me strength. The confession is we often cry out to God in despair because I want Him to fix things. I cry out to Him because I don't want the worst case scenario. I don't want the hard. I don't want the messy. I want the peace. But I want peace often to come on my terms. And God says, hey, there's a reason even for the difficult times in your life. We find also there are things that we can do so we are not fearful. Faith says, I believe. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Okay? Think of that. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. We've sung this morning about having faith in one who is over all things. He's in charge. I haven't seen Him, though. Peter goes on to say, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And this is an important time to know who you believe in. It is impossible to have, it is possible to have faith in God and still struggle at times, be fearful. You don't doubt that God is able to work, but you're not certain what God is choosing to do. And there's that anxiety that does come in. We think about our circumstances and we come up with an idea of how God could or should make things better. The problem is we're often wrong and we always need to say one more thing. God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I need to trust you. So, and I think I heard my son say in prayer meeting the other night, it's so easy to believe in God before the problem and after the problem. It's a different thing when you're in the problem. And yet, God often uses that time in your life, in my life, to see if we're going to be people who want to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. That if I'm going to be the person in the midst of all these things, Lord, I do pray for our country. We are in need. Now, once again, you can talk about all the hype and all the theories out there, but people are dying. People are dying. And I want to do as much on my part as we can to keep that from happening. I want to be smart. Yeah. But I also want to, Lord, I believe that you're God, not only who can, who will someday deal with the wickedness of this world. 10,000 will fall at your right hand, but it will not come near you because you're resting in the Most High. But I also believe we have a God who's able to intercede in our daily lives today, and that's what we should be praying for. God, we need you. I'm thankful. I was going to call Steve and tell him to play that first one we sang this morning. I'm glad you picked it up. I was in here singing that many times this week. I need you. Lord, I need you. And so we need to be praying that because I believe our God is a personal God. He's able to come to our aid. We were talking about angels in the Sunday school class with the membership class. We believe in angels. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? God is there for us. He's able to help us. And so what are we supposed to do? There's some things, seven ways to defeat fear in your life, though. Remember, God has promised He will never leave you. That's just He will never leave you. Remember, God is never surprised at our circumstances. This didn't catch God by surprise. Remember, God can work your circumstances out for good, no matter how bleak they appear. And I need to remember that. God, you're able to make good out of the bad. Stop asking, why did this happen? And maybe start asking, Lord, what can I learn from this? Remind yourself of all that God has done for you in the past. I believe there's times when you're going through the difficulty, if we could just slow the wagon down a little bit. I mean, the horses are running and the wagon is, I'm almost ready to lose it. And the Lord would say, hey, Brian Cuddy, just remember back years where you did see the hand of God at work in your life. Once again, there's a couple places that I always go to there. I go to the place when I was a substitute teacher, when I got off, when I was ready to get hung because I hit that kid on the side that day. And I believe that God intervened for Brian Cuddy to do that whole thing. There's a time when I had the kids in our Horizon, and it was the first snow of the winter, and I was zipping down through Bay City, and 25 was coming across, and I did not have the green light. I had the red light. But my tires did not know that. And I started to slip and slide, and I was going right in the midst of traffic. And I just pushed on the gas, and I heard people beeping all around me. And I just remember, I got a feeling you were there, God. You were there. There's been times when South Baptist Church needed that church van, and we prayed for a van. Once again, I was pretty cheap. Lord, and because my dad was always saying, hey, you can pick up a pretty good church van. You can pick a pretty good van up for about $5,000. So I was praying for one for $5,000. And so we went to that. We were supposed to go, Art Sawyer and I were supposed to go to the post office in Saginaw. And they were going to have an auction that morning. And so we go over there, and somehow we just drive right past the post office, and we drive, and pretty soon I realize, hey, we're too far. We get down to the zoo in Saginaw, that little zoo there. We go one block further, look for a place to turn around. We turn on the left street and look across the wall, and there's a van over there. I say, hey, let's go see it. $5,000. And the funny thing was, this family was a large Mexican family with lots of kids. And yet that van was as spotless as could be. We ended up buying that van. And it just, for me, those are the little things in my life, little times, when I just realized that my God is still at work in my life. And you need to find those times in your life too, when you're going through the difficulties. Lord, you were there. You did intervene for me. Visualize yourself placing whatever scares you into the hands of God. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Just, Lord, here it is. This is what's bothering me, Lord. I'm getting this all in front of me. He promises that. Take your Bibles to a good passage for you to have. Isaiah chapter 43. Sorry about that. Isaiah 43. It's found in 11:26 in the Pew Bible. Just sort of picture this, if you would. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Most of us remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were faced with their bend down and bow. No, we're not going to do it. You know, we're going to burn you. You know, we're going to burn you. We don't care. God is able to save us. If He doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to you. I like that part of that whole thing too. We're going to trust in our Lord. May we remind ourselves, for I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I'm with you. This morning, keep us in mind, evil and harm cannot separate God's children from Him. That includes even pandemics like this. God's children are hidden with Him and their souls are safe with Him for all eternity. That's the beautiful part of being in the shelter of the Most High. That is available to those who have said, Lord, I believe you went to that cross for me. I believe that you are, I believe you're God. And I desire, Lord, you to work in my life, and I want that. I believe there's a peace that you can have even in the midst of troubles. Jesus probably said it best. I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Oh, what should be our attitude during this time? Yeah. I believe we should be supportive and I think at times we may be called upon to help others in need. Maybe there's, people in the church. Let's care for one another. Maybe there's someone you say, hey, they can't get out very much. Maybe they need groceries. Maybe they don't have a job now. I know they're going to be hurting. I have no idea how those government subsidies are going to work. I don't know. But people are going to be needing. And so I pray that we as a church body might care for one another as with us, knowing with all this that we are in the hands of God. Lord, help.